scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Gym class getting ready to come your way on this Friday here at KGYM, presented by Third Base Brewery, as you just heard. Good show coming up for you. We'll have the pick six. We'll talk about last night's debacle in Cleveland, look ahead to tonight's high school football game, and more. It's all coming up on the Gym Class, KGYM. And at 2 minutes past the hour, 3 o'clock, gym class for a Friday coming your way on KGYM, 1600 AM, 107.5 in Cedar Rapids, and 106.3 FM in Iowa City. Scott Unash about to depart, pass the baton off to Kyle Mann. Mark Duke's here as well. John, if you're on your way, I am going to be leaving here in the next couple of minutes. And we'll meet up and get ready to go to the Dome tonight. There's a little road construction, so... People were tweeting out yesterday they got caught in the a pretty big log jam up there in Evansdale. So we're putting that into the plans, into the timing of this, Mark. It's all about timing and layers as you get to this point.
It is indeed, and not good timing last night in Cleveland, as you mentioned, but we'll get to that. We need to get you on the road.
Yes.
4A semifinals coming up, 4 o'clock West Des Moines Valley and Bettendorf. And Scott, what's going on at 7?
Kennedy and Dowling.
Mm-hmm.
Cougars will try to end the six-year run of the Dowling Maroons coming up tonight. Future Hawkeye Gavin Williams, the running back, one of the two running backs for Dowling, was at Southeast Polk last year. We'll see. Kennedy got an awful lot of confidence in that game against Valley earlier in the year. It was a loss, but they had a 14-7 lead in the latter stages of the third quarter in that particular game before a couple plays went sideways. And we'll see if Kennedy can come through tonight against the juggernaut of 4A football. So they'll try to take him down tonight.
What are the keys for Kennedy, do you think?
Get out in front.
Yeah.
Get the running game going. Control the line of scrimmage on the offensive side of things. And get some heat on the Dowling quarterback.
Is this going to be your first look at Gavin Williams?
No, I've seen him.
Okay.
I've seen him once. So
legit?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's a good player. He's a good player.
And he ended up at Dowling how?
I don't want to go into that,
okay,
Mark.
Okay, all right.
I don't. Speculation. But, yeah, semifinal football going on in Class A earlier today and right now. And then 4A. And then we've got Regina tomorrow morning at 9:45 against Van Meter in a 1A semifinal. That'll be on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. All right. Make people get excited about talking about Myles Garrett.
I'm going to row the boat, and as you head up.
My picture with Kyle, by the way.
As you head up to 380 with John Haggerty, I hope you have a good call tonight. And you can hear that game, Kennedy and Dowling, on all three frequencies, right?
Correct. Probably about 7 o'clock. We'll see how it plays out, depending on the length of the first game at 4 o'clock. All right. Kyle, you want to come over here? How are you going to do this?
I'll hop over there in just a second. But before you leave, I want to talk strategy with you. Because it occurred to me, I have your picks.
Yeah.
But when you see the committee all going one way, I know you like to maybe change your pick just to go the opposite way. Do you want me to take that into account?
No, I'm going to go with what I have.
Okay.
I'm just going to go with what I have.
All right, I'm going to come take your chair.
All right, here. Thank you, and have a good show.
Have a great call tonight, Scott.
Thank you. We will.
Appreciate you stopping in with us, and... Scott Unash heading off to the Unidome. Again, catch his call tonight, 7 o'clock or thereabouts, based on the conclusion of the first 4A semifinal. Kennedy and Dowling tonight. And should be a terrific game. Hope you can tune in on one of the three frequencies, 1600 AM, 107.5 FM, the North Gym, 106.3 FM, the South Gym. My, Myles, what were you thinking? Hi, Kyle. Kyle Mann, our producer, joining me for the conclusion of today's gym class.
You know, Mark, when you left the building yesterday, we were kind of wondering what we were going to talk about today. What did we want to do with today's show? Things got taken care of for us because I've got some thoughts. I believe you've got some thoughts. We'll get those out of the way. And then I think, well, if anybody out there listening wants to call in and give us their opinion on, you know, what the heck you saw last night, you know, that was appalling. I don't even know where to start, really.
Yeah, we'll recap it and bring you up to date on the latest in the Myles Garrett, Pittsburgh Steeler, Cleveland Browns situation. Real quick, wanted to update you on state tournament action. Volleyball at the USL Center, downtown Cedar Rapids. Cedar Falls is your 5A champion, defeating West Des Moines Dowling in four sets. I'm sorry, West Des Moines Valley in four sets. The 4A championship game is concluded. Sergeant Bluff Luton has defeated Western Dubuque in three. Right now, Mount Vernon taking on Carroll Kemper for the 3A title. Later on this afternoon, Western Christian and Dyersville Beckman get together for the 2A title. And tonight, Sydney and Wapsie Valley conclude the state volleyball tournament for the 1A championship. State football semifinals in the Unidome going on right now. Hancock and Woodbury Central in a Class A semifinal. Already in the books, Grundy Center has punched its ticket to the state championship game, defeating St. Ansgar 23-21. And as we mentioned, 4A semifinals coming up this afternoon and evening, West Des Moines Valley and Bettendorf, and West Des Moines Dowling and Kennedy. A lot of great action tomorrow on the gridiron, Iowa State and Texas. Perhaps we'll get to a bit of that. And Iowa, Minnesota, both mid-afternoon games. Two terrific matchups. And tonight, the Iowa basketball team tries to right the ship against Oral Roberts. The Hawkeyes, a 12.5-point favorite in that game. Last night, Kyle, I stuck with the game to the bitter end in an otherwise very good and important victory for the Cleveland Browns, a 21-7 victory over Pittsburgh, marred, tarnished by what happened with 8 seconds remaining in the game. If you missed it, and I don't know how, if you're a sports fan, you could have, but Cleveland's Myles Garrett, the number one overall pick in the 2017 NFL draft, sacked Mason Rudolph, the Pittsburgh Steeler quarterback. And my interpretation of the play in the video, Garrett kind of continued to drive Rudolph into the ground. Rudolph took exception, grabbed the back of Myles Garrett's helmet. We don't know what was said or what happened while the two were on the ground. Garrett took exception, ripped the helmet off Mason Rudolph, and proceeded to assault, and I do mean assault, Mason Rudolph, swinging his helmet and hitting him on the head. Could have ripped his skull open, could have hit him in the temple, could have done just about anything. Thankfully, Mason Rudolph is not seriously injured. Marquise Pouncey, of the Pittsburgh Steelers, defending Rudolph, comes in and kicks Myles Garrett while he's on the ground. I mean, this is almost laugh, but what makes these guys swing at each other and do things when they have a helmet on and full pads? I constantly laugh at that. But what's not laughable is what Myles Garrett did. The update is that he has been suspended indefinitely for the conclusion of the 2019 season and playoffs. What remains after that? Who knows? Predictably, Myles Garrett apologized for his actions. That's what guilty people do, Kyle, when you know, after the cloud blows over, well, I made an uncharacteristic mistake, blah, blah, blah. But Pouncey gets three games. Pittsburgh and Cleveland both fined $250,000. Apparently, Mason Rudolph is going to get some penalties as well. We'll keep track of that and try to bring you up to date. And Myles Garrett apparently is going to look into appealing. What are you going to appeal? Everybody has seen it.
I don't know what Myles Garrett thinks that he's going to, you know, have actual grounds to win an appeal. And I guess I want to get one thing out of the way real quick, because we're already seeing it on the text line. Mason Rudolph is not completely innocent in all this. As you said, on the ground, you know, he took exception to Garrett, you know, taking him to the ground. And yeah, if you've seen the video, Rudolph clearly took exception to what Garrett had done, was trying to, you know, it looked like he might have been trying to take Garrett's helmet off. So, you know,
he's grabbing the back of his helmet and telling him to get off me.
Right. It's not a totally innocent action. You know, he was trying to take Garrett's helmet off, but you know, that is maybe a, you know, I don't think that in itself is worth a suspension. Maybe given what it led to, what it contributed to creating, I think maybe you find Mason Rudolph and say, see, when you do something like this, you see how it can escalate things and lead to something. But with that said, I see a lot of people out there trying to, you know, act like Mason Rudolph should also get equal punishment, be suspended for the rest of the season. You know, get out with that, okay? Because
5165 on the text line says he deserves two games. Mason Rudolph.
See, and I don't see that at all. You know, Mason Rudolph was upset. He was trying to manipulate Garrett's helmet in one way or another. But, you know, to that point, I understand how he could have been a little bit frustrated. It's the end of the game. They're two touchdowns down. It's not like they're going to make a comeback in 15 seconds or whatever. Mm-hmm. He'd gotten smeared on the last two plays previous, I believe. He just getting sacked. There's 10 seconds left in the game. No reason for Myles Garrett to take him to the ground the way he did. So I can understand Mason Rudolph taking exception to the way he was treated late in that game. But with that said, he too got a little testy there and tried to take Garrett's helmet off a little bit. So I'm not blind to the fact that Mason Rudolph played a role in this. But then just, you know, look at what Myles Garrett did. You don't have to be a police officer. You don't have to be a lawyer. You know, it took him three or four, you know, whole tugs where he's trying to rip this helmet off of him. He's like, give me the helmet.
It was deliberate.
Can't get it. Yeah. And it almost took so many different attempts just to get the helmet off that you are aware of what you're doing, where you're trying three or four separate times to rip somebody's helmet off, and then you back up and you overhead swing it down at this guy's head. That is assault. I saw somebody on Twitter point out that, you know, an NFL helmet weighs 6 pounds. Your standard red brick weighs 5 pounds. So you're talking about a not even close to a football action with a weapon. And so that to me is the most interesting part of this whole conversation is Alex Kuhn said on Twitter last night that, you know, somewhere in here, there's got to be a threshold for something you can do on a football field that warrants actual legal action. And if it's not what we saw last night, what is it? That was assault with a weapon. And, you know, I don't see how you can construe it any other way.
Is the punishment justified? What do you think? 319-366-1600. One of the texters here wants us to get on to more important matters like Hawkeye football and basketball, and we will do so down the road.
Basketball team plays
tonight. But this is the talk of sports right now. It's on CBS Sports. It's at ESPN. It's on the national talk shows. We carried the game on KGYM. This is what people are talking about, and I don't feel bad at all by leading with this. There's going to be plenty of talk of Iowa football and basketball coming up. Cyclone Tim, if Cleveland could have showed this much emotion, maybe they'd be having a much better season. Unfortunately, you have to channel your emotion with execution and not let the emotion get the best of you. Cleveland has not been a very disciplined team. Could it be the coach? 27-46. So you're talking about Mason is completely innocent of this. Garrett was horribly in the wrong, but it takes two to tango, as they say. I'm not saying Rudolph should be exonerated, but again, he's been terrorized the whole game, and Garrett is driving him into the ground, and Rudolph had had enough and grabbed the back of his helmet, and maybe you don't know what was said by Garrett or Rudolph while they're on the ground, right?
That has been the most annoying part of the discourse today is we don't know what Mason Rudolph might have said to Myles Garrett. And I guess just in regards to that, Myles Garrett and his actions and how he got there seemed pretty clear cut to me. I don't believe, you know, with no information, you know, I'll be honest, with no information what Mason Rudolph might have said or not said. What happened to me looked like Mason Rudolph started trying to take Myles Garrett's helmet off of his head. Mm-hmm. And so Myles Garrett said, okay, I'm going to rip yours off of your head. I don't think that, you know, we'll see how things play out, but I don't think that racial epithets played a role in this.
We're going to get to the phone lines and more texts, but I want to just throw this in. Myles Garrett is no saint. Week one, he punched Delanie Walker of the Tennessee Titans. Again, punching somebody with a helmet on, that makes a lot of sense. In week two, he ended Trevor Siemian's season with a late hit. Later in September, he was fined $52,000 for those two incidents. Face mask and two roughing penalties, and the NFL came down on him. So Garrett is, this is not a one-time thing, although this went to another level. Kyle, why don't you bring in phone lines there?
All right. We've got John in Columbus Junction. Nice to hear from you. What's going on?
Hi, John.
Oh, we're having a little bit of a problem with John here. Well, I'll work on this, Mark.
All right. Sounds good.
John, you got us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we can. What do you got?
Oh, this is an ongoing thing with Myles Garrett this year. There's not room for that behavior in the league. I believe he should be suspended for at least 2 years, maybe three, give him the Kaepernick treatment. And whenever it comes to Rudolph, give him a fine. You know, no big deal.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But the whole crux of the situation is Myles Garrett's behavior, and I mean he could have killed the guy.
And that's not hyperbole. He literally could have crushed his skull.
Yes, there's not room in that, you know, in the NFL for players like that. Anyway, thanks for the call, guys. Talk to you later.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it, John.
All right, we'll move on to Damian here in Cedar Rapids.
My Damian.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What do you got on your mind?
Basically, what it comes down to is I think that the only unfair penalty in this whole thing is Pouncey. That guy's been playing football since he was 5 years old, and you protect your quarterback. I have no problem with his response to that, considering the severity of the attacks. And that's it. I'll take my comments off air.
Thanks, Damon.
Thanks,
appreciate
Damon.
It. Kicking him, though?
I
know what Damian's saying, and I do appreciate that, and you're going to defend your quarterback. Pouncey is a veteran. Again, you're kicking somebody with full equipment on. I just don't – it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But Damian, John, I appreciate it. We're going to get more phone calls in. Back to the text line, 4007. Yes, no matter what was said, what Myles Garrett did was way overboard. 9660. Garrett should get 10 games, Rudolph 2, and Posey 6. Now, Posey is the Cleveland Brown.
Pouncy. I believe he means Pouncy.
Okay.
And I agree with what Damian said, especially as a lineman. You know, on a football team, you protect your quarterback. But especially as a lineman, you see somebody do something like that to your quarterback, you know, I can believe that you snap into a certain zone. And I understand, you can't really kick people in the head, okay? I'm not gonna sit here and say you should kick people in the head. I understand the way he reacted. I support it. I even encourage it. But aesthetically kicking somebody in the head, I am on board with a small suspension for Marquise Pouncey.
Mark Dukes alongside Kyle Mann today on the Gym Class. Scott Unash, John Haggerty making a sojourn up to the Unidome to cover for a semifinal football tonight. 98-42, yes, they both tugged on each other. But if he didn't swing the helmet, nobody would be suspended today. 17-75, if any of us punched someone in the face at work, we would be fired. Fire Garrett. There are plenty of guys who will take his place and play with class. There is already a huge lack of class in the NFL. How about that?
Well, certain degree of truth to it, but I guess I would say, you know, it would be nice if guys got properly punished for behaving like this, but, you know, Myles Garrett is not going to lose his job. He's going to get suspended. Maybe his suspension reaches into next year, but whenever he gets around to getting back on the field for the Browns, he will be welcomed with open arms, and that's just the reality.
Let's go to the phone lines and get more comment. Nick in Cedar Rapids, how's your day going?
Hey, good. Thanks for having me, fellas.
You're welcome.
So if I ain't mistaken, I believe that earlier this year, a linebacker got suspended for a illegal hit for a whole year. I think that his suspension so far is just going to be the tip of the iceberg. I believe he'll be looking at least another year. I'll see what you guys have to say about that.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
I believe he's referring to Vontaze Burfict, who ended up getting a really serious suspension. And I'm glad that Nick just brought this up, because Vontaze Burfict got a serious suspension. He may have even been, is he banned permanently? I'll have to look it up here. But either way, Vontaze Burfict had a track record. There is a long history of Vontaze Burfict doing things that don't quite belong on a football field. With that being said, not a single thing that Vontaze Burfict has ever done looked so out of place, looked as out of place as what Myles Garrett did last night. Vontaze Burfict will take a cheap shot at you. He'll come at you after the play. But as far as I know, Vontaze Burfict has never done something where I legitimately thought he should be arrested. And that just kind of puts into perspective how serious what Myles Garrett did last night.
You think Garrett is truly sorry?
I mean,
I can't get into his head, but again, this is what guilty people do. They end up apologizing, say, oh, I was totally out of character. No, what happened week one, Myles? What happened week two, Myles? And this just took it another step.
It's hard to say, you know. I guess all we can hope from a humanitarian perspective is that, you know, when he entered the league, I recall him being regarded kind of as a quieter guy. I believe he's into poetry, whether he just reads it or writes it or whatnot. But he was presented as a kind of a calm, under the radar type individual. But then the incidences you're referring to earlier in the season, I've seen stories with people saying, you know, what's going on with Myles Garrett? This isn't really the way he typically acts. And so, you know, maybe
he had a clean record coming out of Texas A&M.
Yeah, maybe this will be a little bit of a wake-up call. You know, maybe he was kind of losing control a little bit, and, you know, things really came to a head last night, and, you know, maybe he will improve himself as a person.
3244 on the text line. Rudolph should be suspended as well. Not as long, obviously, but he instigated it all. He tried to rip off his helmet first and then kicked him in the leg slash groin. If nothing else happened after that, it would have been a suspendable offense. The way I saw it, Garrett continued to grind Rudolph into the turf. Am I wrong?
No.
What I also saw is Rudolph grabbed the back of Garrett's helmet. I'd like to know what was said on the ground between the two, if anything. Perhaps Rudolph had just had enough of being sacked and whatnot. We're going to take a break right now, come back and revisit this topic and talk about tomorrow's football games and get to the Emil's Hideaway pick six. Back after this on the Jim Kloss.
Every journey starts with a single step. On your retirement journey, make sure your first step is finding Medicare Supplement Insurance with Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield. We want you to find answers to all your questions about Medicare. Go to wellmark.com/Medicare today and get your free Medicare Matters guide or find a local expert to talk to. Then, let the journey begin. Wellmark. Must reside in the service area of the plan. Wellmark Medicare Supplement Insurance plans are not connected with or endorsed by any government agency.
The first thing your guests see is the outside of your home, so make sure it's ready to greet them for the holidays. A new front door from Therma-Tru will make a statement and create a stunning entrance. In fact, with a new Therma-Tru front door from Alexander Lumber, you'll spruce up your curb appeal and give your guests a warm welcome before they even reach the doorbell. Visit Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
One player can't beat an entire field. That's not how the game is played. To win, you need the support, backup, and protection of a team. So when you're ready to make your way in the world, join the team at Smart 263. Their apprenticeship program gives you outstanding training, real support, and a smart game plan for a great paying career. And you earn while you learn. Get details on their apprenticeship program at smart263.org. Sheet Metal Workers 263, helping you win at the game of life.
On KGYM, you've got sports and the Gym Class. On Smart FM, you've got class, music class. Our Smart Rock professors will teach you all there is to know about Smart Rock. Tunes you know and love, live tracks and B-sides, and great songs you just plain old forgot about. With a library spanning multiple decades, our professors dig deep. This isn't your typical classic rock station. This is Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Today and every Friday, the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is presented by Two Rivers Bank and Trust. Tune in from 4 to 7 today right here on KGYM. Two Rivers Bank and Trust. My neighborhood, my bank.
It's a Class 4A semifinal showdown between heavyweights this Friday night on KGYM. Hi, this is Scott Unash. Join John Hagerty and me Friday at 7 from the Unidome for a 4A semifinal as number 5 Kennedy meets number 2 West Des Moines Dowling. This is a rematch of the 2015 title game as the Cougars will try to take out the 6-time champion Maroons. That's 4A semifinal playoff football presented by Hills Bank. Number 5 Kennedy and number 2 West Des Moines Dowling. Friday night at 7 on KGYM.
.3:30 back on the Gym Class on this Friday. Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann with you. I take you through the next half hour. We'll get to the Emil's Hideaway pick six in about 15 minutes with the panel. I'll go back to a text we had that someone wanted us to get on to Iowa football and basketball, and that's a legit point. That was in my plans today. But despite the fact that national shows have dealt with this topic, it is the main topic of sports news today. And I think it's important for us as a local radio station to take the temperature of our listeners. And we've already heard from John and Damian and Nick on the phone line and plenty of texts. Might have bounced there? Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think it coming on the air isn't just about, you know, me or you or Scott or Todd or Alex saying what we want to say. I think there's also a degree of it's important to us to hear from our listeners what they want to say. So if everybody in the sports talk industry said, okay, somebody already talked about that on another station at a different time, so we can't talk about it. we wouldn't have nothing to talk about.
8721 on the text line. We're trying to eliminate concussions in the NFL. Then you've got a guy hitting another guy in the head with a helmet. Garrett should never play again. Make him get a real job.
As bad as everything was, I do believe in growth and improvement. And, I think Garrett's suspension through the rest of this year is good. I think that if that was even going to bleed into next season, I wouldn't be surprised or upset by that. But to say he's going to get a lifetime ban or something like that, or he should never be allowed to play football again, as bad as it was, I'm not willing to go that far.
2134 says, charge him with assault.
Charge him with assault. I'm with that.
Excuse me while I read make a cursory look at the text before I actually read them, which is always a good idea, right, Kyle? Darren, I've never been watching a game and thought to myself that this is way over the line. That was when Rob Gronkowski, I don't know who they were playing, but he went crazy on the sidelines and started slamming at a guy's head into the ground. I don't recall that.
I don't recall that either.
4007, apologizing is something better than not doing or saying anything at all or saying he doesn't regret what he did.
Yeah, it's true. It's better than not saying anything. But at the same time, you're right. This is what guilty people do. He did something wrong. He's got to apologize. I guess we're in terms of, his true degree of remorse, whether or not, he's going to do something like this again, only time will tell in that regard. It's better to have an apology than to not, I suppose.
I suppose so. If there's any updates on suspensions or anything else on this subject, we'll bring it to you. But thanks so much so far for the interaction on the text line and from our callers. Let's talk about tomorrow's football games. We've got Iowa, Minnesota, 3 p.m. kickoff. Iowa State, Texas, a half hour prior. You can hear local programming, 1 o'clock before the boom. The KGYM Sports Panel breaks down an Iowa, Minnesota game. And at 12:30, the Iowa State Sports Network previews the Iowa State, Texas game. I ask you, Kyle, ask listeners, which is a bigger game?
Well, I'm trying to think of how to approach that question. A win for either school doesn't actually do much. They're both playing to be for bowl placement or whatnot, but neither school is playing for a conference title or anything like that. And so, a win would be for which game. Which school needs a win more isn't really an interesting question to me. But which school could less afford a loss? I think the answer is clearly Iowa. And I go back to, there was kind of a defining discussion that we had about the Hawkeyes earlier this season when we started looking at, after the losses to Michigan and Penn State, we started to, I remember conversations I had with Alex Kuhn in particular, where we're talking about the formula that makes up Iowa football and the style in which they play, where, defense that keeps the opposing offense in check, and then offensively you're not going to score a lot, but you're just hoping to put yourself in position to score a little bit more at the very last second. That's kind of how Iowa plays. And against 2/3 of Iowa's schedule, that works. But then when you run into Michigan, Penn State, Michigan State some years, Ohio State, Wisconsin, it doesn't work. The only thing that would really ever bring about change, right, is if it started not working against those other 2/3 of your schedule. if Iowa started losing to Indiana or Minnesota, then you really have to start re-examining Iowa's status in the Big Ten and how good of a program Kirk Ferentz is actually running still. If Iowa loses to Minnesota this weekend, I think that that gets us one step closer to a really hard look in the mirror at the Iowa program. And so I think that, and on the flip side, if Iowa State loses to Texas, you know, Texas is a ranked team. Of course, Minnesota's a ranked team and all, but I just think that Iowa losing to Minnesota would just get us, like I said, one step closer to really examining who Iowa is.
In my opinion, I think it's Iowa State with a more, I shouldn't say more important, because they're two big games. I look at these two programs and which one is on schedule based on preseason predictions for whatever they're worth and which team is not. And I would have to say Iowa State is not on schedule. They're 5-4, not yet bowl eligible. And there's plenty locally in the area and nationally who thought this could be a Big Ten champion or Big 12 championship contender. That's not going to happen. Maybe a 10-2 team, 9-3. Again, this team's 5-4 right now.
I took the over 8
with four losses by one score. It hasn't been a fortunate season in that regard. Kansas and Kansas State also remain on the schedule. What you thought at the beginning of the year, Kansas is going to be a pushover. Now, Iowa State will be favored in that game at Ames. Kansas State in Manhattan is not going to be any bargain either. So I think it's very important that Iowa State get back on the winning track, get itself bowl eligible, and try to finish the season as strongly as possible. I'm not going to minimize the importance of the Iowa-Minnesota game from Iowa's standpoint either, because I think it's very important. But a lot of us thought this was probably an 8-4 team, maybe 9-3, perhaps 7-5. Iowa is 6-3. To stay on schedule or maybe stay a bit ahead of schedule, Iowa would need to beat Minnesota. Should it lose, 8-4 is still possible. Poll question today at KGYMradio.com has to do with tomorrow's game at Kinnick. Where will Floyd of Rosedale reside Sunday morning? Will it be Iowa City or Minneapolis? Thanks to Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. Two very interesting games in my mind.
Our second straight really juicy weekend. Both of those games are going to be very interesting to watch. Not to take anything away from either of those games. It's going to be a really entertaining weekend. How do you see this game coming out? And we'll cover this a little bit on the pick six here in just a little bit, but I'm asking you to show your hand.
First of all, 46-35, Minnesota is ranked top 10. Sheesh, guys.
They are, and I wasn't saying that Minnesota's not a good team, and I'm not even saying that Iowa losing to Minnesota would be a bad loss. It's a very reasonable loss. It's a loss that I expect, as I will tell you in just a few minutes. But what it means in the bigger picture is I think that it would signify that maybe Minnesota has overtaken Iowa in the hierarchy of the Big Ten, not just this year. But it shows P.J. Fleck has Minnesota on that program.
But they have to put a few years together to be on Iowa's level, don't they?
Well, I mean, sure.
I mean, they're clearly ahead of Iowa this year up till now.
In terms of longevity, sure. They've got to, and you know, year in, year out consistency, yeah. They've got to put a few years together to prove that. But, you know, coming into this season, Iowa looked to me like a team that had all the tools to be a really good Big Ten team. Senior quarterback, a lot of weapons on offense. You know, the defense has proven to be just as good as it always is. And with all that being said, with all the things in place that you would want for a successful Iowa team, it's just going to be the same, you know, average 8-5 or 8-4, you know, same as it always is. Meanwhile, Minnesota has shown vast improvement from last year to this year, and they're a really good team with a really good, aggressive, motivated coach. All I'm saying is that if Minnesota wins this weekend, as I expect them to, I think it's going to be a little bit of a red flag to a lot of Hawkeye fans out there.
Iowa favored by 3 points, and a lot of different aspects to that that matchup. We'll get into all of them on Before the Boom tomorrow at 1 o'clock on KGYM here. We're going to take a break. We're going to assemble the panel. By the way, Mount Vernon about ready to win the 3A state volleyball championship over Carroll Kemper, up 2 games and leading 19-11 in the third. We'll bring you up to date on that as that match continues. So stick with us. We'll be back with the panel and the Emo's Hideaway Pick 6 after this.
Hey, guys, time to stock up for indoor pets and outdoor visitors at Vernon Village True Value.
Yeah, Jim, your best friend will love Pet Expert dog food. And right now at Vernon Village True Value, a 50-pound bag is just $16.99.
Right, Hal. And you can attract a variety of wild birds with 10 pounds of black oil sunflower bird seed or 20 pounds of general purpose wild bird feed. Your choice, just $4.99 a bag.
Hey, want their ad delivered to your phone?
Yeah.
Just text Vernon Village to 71441.
Vernon Village True Value, 3501 Mount Vernon Road, Southeast, Cedar Rapids.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Dave, what does collate mean?
Oh, hey, Dave. I think it means to flush.
Oh,
thanks, Dave. Well, better start collating the boss's sales pitch.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
My name is Brandon. I am a manager of tire sales at Firestone Complete Auto Care. When you come here to get service, we're going to take care of your car. Because you take care of your car is going to take care of you.
Come in for the Firestone Complete Auto Care Epic Sales Event and save $100 when you spend $500 or more. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Valid November 14th through November 17th. Exclusions apply. Cannot be combined with other offers. Additional fees may apply where lawful. See store for details.
It's time for some straight talk. You know those football players who are all talk, no show? Well, big wireless carriers aren't much different. Well, Straight Talk Wireless doesn't give you the hype, just the savings. For just $45 a month, you'll get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. No contract. All on the same 4G LTE networks as the big guys, but up to half the cost. Savings delivered right to your wallet. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Do you think all premium fuels are the same? Well, your engine doesn't. New Shell V-Power Nitro Plus helps keep your engine running like new because it's engineered to defend against four main engine threats: gunk, wear, corrosion, and friction. So next time, choose Shell's most advanced fuel ever. It's fuel for thought. In engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gasoline.
Family is big around here. We're family-owned, family-operated, family-managed. And that means legacy. That means dependability. That means using Grainger. With over 1.5 million products and knowledgeable product experts, Grainger has whatever we need. And with same-day pickup and next-day delivery options, they have it whenever we need it. For over 90 years, businesses like ours have trusted Grainger. Because, like family, Grainger's got our back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to the Gym Class, 3:45 on this fine Friday. Local programming continues 4 to 7 with the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Looking forward to that. We'll keep you updated on Mount Vernon's quest for a state volleyball championship, which is seems imminent. But right now, I want to bring our esteemed commissioner of the Emo's Hideaway Pick 6, Mr. Todd Brommelkamp.
Well, gentlemen, I did not go 0-6 last week, and I didn't go 6-0 either, and
I couldn't even
manage to beat Dave, so I fell somewhere in the middle. And can you explain to me how I left off the 52-point spread with Rutgers and Ohio State this week? I mean, well, we made up for it with one of the other games that has a massive point spread, but as usual, somebody's going to take home a $30 gift card to Emil's Hideaway when everything is said and done. We've got Dave Alec here in the studio with us.
on the team with myself and Alex. We gained a couple games last week. The gym class team is still in the lead. It's been an interesting back-and-forth affair all season. And as we mentioned, Dave was the individual winner last week. I think we were both 4-2. He got me on the tiebreaker. So Dave gets to bat leadoff Iowa State at home as a touchdown favorite against the Texas Longhorns. Dave, what do you got for us?
I think
this
he was 5-1.
He's 5-1.
You guys came head to head on that night game, and you were on opposite ends.
Well, now I want a recount.
The Longhorns are the only team in the Big 12 Iowa State hasn't conquered. Texas holds a 16-2 record against the Cyclones. Tom Herman is 14-4 as an underdog since 2015, and they are getting a couple of defensive players back this week. The Cyclones are 3-6 as favorites since last year. Matt Campbell is 0-3 against the spread with Texas. I think this is a shootout that favors the Longhorns. I think the Cyclones will win the game, but Texas covers the 7.
Kyle, what does Scott have?
Scott has Iowa State. We know he's a Cyclone homer, so of course he's got Iowa State.
I guess I am this week as well. I think the Cyclones bounce back. Tough game, and we'll close Texas out down the stretch. I'll give the points.
I'm actually not super confident in this. A whole touchdown against a ranked Texas team, but I'm just following my gut here. I'm taking Iowa State.
Texas has never been in Jack Trice Stadium in the month of November. We had their beat writer on with us yesterday who says the city of Austin shuts down when it's under 40 degrees. It's going to be a cold one, and as I wrote in the Gazette and the picks tomorrow, it's don't worry, Texas fans, it's completely normal for your Longhorn to shrink in cold weather. I'm going to go with Iowa State.
I was going to take Texas in this game up until the Brian Davis, the Austin American Statesman, is
great
that correct?
Great name for a newspaper.
Very classy.
Yes.
He joined us yesterday and broke the news on our show that their star receiver, Colin Johnson, will likely not play in this game. Give me Iowa State.
And Dave is on Texas Island. It's an interesting island to be on, a ranked team. We mentioned Rutgers is a 52-point favorite, or 52-point underdog, I should say, against Ohio State. We're not picking that one. We're picking an even more intriguing lopsided point spread. Northwestern steps out of Big Ten play to host UMass at Ryan Field this weekend. Northwestern, the team that we saw play Iowa just 3 weeks ago and mount zero offense, is a 39-point favorite over UMass. Scott is up first. Kyle, which direction's he leaning?
Well, Scott thinks that Northwestern's going to figure things out offensively, and he wants the Wildcats.
Man, I have no problem predicting that UMass will give up 39, but will it be by Northwestern? Man, I'm going to ride the Minutemen. Give me UMass.
Woo! I have seen Northwestern play several times this season, and I think they are absolutely terrible. I am also going to take the Minutemen.
I was reading the Chicago Tribune earlier today, one of the three newspapers that I subscribe to, and Teddy Greenstein, who covers the Northwestern Wildcats, says, take UMass. Teddy's picks have been terrible this year. I'm going to take Northwestern.
Yeah. See, Northwestern, we can say what we want about them offensively, but I watched UMass earlier in the year, and they literally had me convinced that Rutgers was going to be better this season. That's how bad they were. Rutgers played them in game one, looked decent, and I thought Rutgers might have a better season. They are the worst, maybe the second worst team in college football if you want to count Akron. They're one of the worst teams in college football. Give me Northwestern.
UMass is one of the two worst football teams in the nation, and Akron is the other. This is Northwestern's Super Bowl. I'll take the Cats to cover.
Oh, my God.
Well, at least one team in Chicago gets to enjoy a Super Bowl this year. Game number three, Indiana at Penn State. I knew I said that because I knew Mark was starting first. Penn State is a 13.5-point favorite for our purposes at the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside. This game's actually at 14.5 right now, Mark.
Todd, I can't disagree with you. As a Bear fan, it's not going to happen this year. It is going to happen for Indiana. Indiana may not win. I really like this team. I like Tom Allen and his energy. And Penn State might have been stung a little bit from that trip to Minnesota. Give me Indiana in the points.
Kyle.
Yeah, the loss to Minnesota obviously smarts just a little bit, but I think at this juncture in their season, Penn State realizes that if they just win out and finish as strong as they possibly can, there's an outside chance that they could maybe get back in that playoff picture. Maybe not very likely, but that's what they're telling themselves. Give me the Nittany Lions to show up for this one.
I'm going to take Penn State here as well. I'm intrigued by Indiana this year. It's been fun to see what Tom Allen and his crew are doing, but this is a really good bounce-back spot for Penn State. Alex?
See, if Penn State would have beaten Minnesota last week, I'd be screaming trap game, because don't they have Ohio State next week?
They do.
But not after a loss. Give me Penn State.
The Hoosiers are currently 5-1 straight up against the spread this year.
Uh-oh.
They have covered their last four as road underdogs. Indiana looks like they're gaining momentum. Penn State has not covered the last three at Happy Valley. Mm. Give me the Hoosiers.
I thought we were going to get a classic misdirection there from Dave, but no, he stayed the course. Kyle, what did Scott pick on this one?
That's the wrong paper. He also wants Penn State.
Okay, so there we go. Four of the six panelists on Penn State. Michigan State at Michigan. They hate each other. And Michigan's a 13-point favorite in Ann Arbor. Kyle Batledoff.
I'm taking Michigan. I think Michigan has sort of righted itself at this point in the season. Meanwhile, Michigan State is just, I don't quite know what's up with them. Just give me the Wolverines.
Every single trend in this series points to Michigan State. They cover almost every year when they play Michigan. They always say throw out the records when you get a rivalry together. I want to fade this. I want to play Michigan here, but I'm going to actually follow the trends and take Michigan State.
Great pick. Michigan State is a...
That's why we work so well together.
Wait, did you say Michigan State?
Yeah.
Okay, terrible pick.
Oh.
No. No.
That's why we're like oil and water on the air.
Michigan State is a dumpster fire right now. And no good news is coming out of East Lansing right now. You just have to wonder if Mark D'Antonio is going to be their coach next season. And meanwhile, Michigan has righted the ship a little bit. Give me the Wolverines.
Michigan State has won 8 of the last 11 games in this series. Last week, they jumped out to a 28-3 lead against the Illini. And four turnovers later, lost the game outright 37-34. Michigan, on the other hand, looks like they are finally living up to their potential and arguably their best football of the year. I'll take the Wolverines to win and cover.
Oh, I'm going to be on an island. Scott's going with Michigan, right, Kyle?
Scott is going with Michigan.
Do it to me, Mark. Do it to me.
I think D'Antonio got a vote of confidence a couple weeks ago, didn't he?
Oh, that's got to be good.
Huh? That's always
never
great.
Good.
Although I'm going to give you a vote of confidence, Todd. I'm going to put you on an island. Give me Michigan.
All right. Game number 5, Wisconsin. After just beating Iowa last week at Camp Randall, travels to Nebraska. There is still a path forward for the Cornhuskers, I guess. I don't know. That's what they were selling during the bye week. Nebraska is a 13.5-point underdog at home. And I'm going to take Wisconsin to roll big in this one, Alex.
Yeah, I like Wisconsin as well.
Scott Frost and Nebraska have not covered in their last 6 games this year. They are 1-8 against the spread. Wisconsin is 12-4 as road favorites since 2015. The Badgers have won 6 in a row in this series. There are reports of dissension in the Cornhusker locker room from the younger lineman, and Robinson, their best playmaker, is out. Give me the Badgers.
Wandale.
This is the one road team that Scott wants to pledge his allegiance to. Give him Wisconsin.
Mark, are we 5-for-5 on the Badgers?
I can put Kyle on an island, and it's 5-for-5. Give me Wisconsin.
Psych. This is the easiest game on the board. Give me the Badgers.
All right, we're going to wrap up, Alex, with the battle for Floyd of Rosedale tomorrow at 3 o'clock in Iowa City. That means at 1 o'clock right here on 107.5 and 106.3 FM, we will have before the boom as we'll once again gather to offer our predictions. The Hawkeyes, a 3-point favorite at home over an undefeated Minnesota team. And our tiebreaker this week, total offense combined. Iowa and Minnesota, total offense tomorrow.
So total offensive yards?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and say that Iowa ekes out a 2-point victory in this game, 24-22. And I will say 670 yards of total offense.
Minnesota has won 5 of their 9 games by a 1-score possession. They gave up more than 500 yards of offense to Penn State last week, a team that had been averaging around 300. The Gopher quarterback, in 3 of his last 4 games, has completed 57, 54, and 53% of his passes, and 2 of those 3 were to Rutgers and Maryland. The Iowa defense is giving up less than 12 points a game. The Hawkeyes get their much-needed signature win and cover.
Tiebreaker, Dave?
7-0-6.
Ooh.
Scott thinks Iowa's going to cover this one, and he, for his tiebreaker, wants 6-0-2.
6-0-2, okay. Mark?
All the sharps I have followed have Iowa as a play this week, and I'm going to follow that. I'm going to go 626.
I guess I must not be very sharp, but just knowing what I know about these two teams, I can't even figure out why Iowa's favored. I'm taking the Gophers, and I'd like 620.
All right, a stat that you will hear again coming up after 4 o'clock. The last time Iowa was a home favorite against a team that was in the top 10, that's a home favorite against a team in the top 10. You got to go back to 2010. Michigan State came to town. Iowa had just lost to Wisconsin. Iowa beat a top 10 ranked Michigan State team by 31 points that day at Kinnick Stadium. I'm going to take Iowa. It's my 50-star lock of the week, and if it misses, I'll give you my show with Alex for free for the rest of the year. How about that? And so far, I got 602 to 706 as a range to play. And let's go ahead on the under and just give me an even 500 there. How about that?
What do folks need to do now, Todd?
Well, they need to call 319-366-1600. I believe Alex is, well, I thought he was on the other side of the glass. We'll have somebody answering the phone. 6 callers. We have 6 panelists. You get to select one of us, and whoever did the best job of picking games this week will reward you with a $30 gift card to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue.